Cohen Neander. I'm Jason Nimrod. Good morning. Boy, I struggle a lot with circumstances. Not by nature an incredibly patient person. The employment I do now, I don't know what to say of it. I won't talk about it much. Say, boy, I was coming home yesterday. I was having a hard afternoon. You can say, oh, he was working so hard. You go, no, that wasn't it. Almost kind of a psychological depression, sort of. Anger. And I don't think I was shouting at God. But I was struggling to know what I should do. Anyway, the great part was once I got home, I kind of, number one, you kind of have to shake it off before you get with the family because they don't need it. They don't need that. And Sam was making dinner, hamburgers. Believe it or not, we don't do hamburgers very much at all. And he was out in the dark grilling. What a trooper. And it was cold. And expressing my gratitude and thanks to him for what he was doing. At least he got all the fixings together. And thanked her for that. And then we were going off to see a family with the missionaries. And it was really interesting. Lisa noted this, that I guess the missionaries that we have are kind of sneaky. And they say they're going to do one thing, and then they don't. They do something else. And you're going, I don't understand what you're doing. But then again, it was really interesting. They were reading scriptures, and they were bizarre scriptures for this family, I thought. Anyway, but let me tell you, while they were reading those scriptures, while they were talking, the kids were so quiet. And it wasn't that they were sitting there looking at the missionaries with rapt attention or anything. You know, they were flopped on the floor, kind of working on homework or something like that, which they weren't doing before. Before they were hopping and bopping around and chitter chattering. And had stopped, and it made me recall that, you know what, I don't remember how I was like as a missionary. If I was anything, amazing or not, probably be a lot like these missionaries. You know, not terribly impressive guys. At all. I don't think I was. But yet, endowed with something. That's not the right word, endowed, but at least while they're missionaries, possessed of something that really calms the heart, at least. Well, that was really good because after we had been done with that, I felt a lot better. I felt almost kind of upbeat. And that's great. So, up this morning again. Taking care of whatever needs there are of the day. And prepared to go to the temple. I'm not surprised, but as you're going through it, you still have those tough feelings, tough times. Try hard to be grateful for things. I have been blessed. I am truly blessed now. In the interesting circumstances I'm in, I worry that I'm not catching on quickly enough, I'm not working enough. Oh, I don't know where to put it exactly. I'm frustrated by, I don't know if they're, if you call them growing pains or if they're just failures. This needs to work better for me so that I can not have to figure out what works by a process of elimination. So that's not very workable. Brought back time and time again to the whole concept of trusting in the Father, God the Father, and in the Savior Jesus Christ. That what they've set up, what they do, how they handle things, will get me to where I need to go. Get me to my goals. It's not goals. I've been talking about it as meeting the standards. And I like that approach for the kind of person you need to be to stand in the Lord's presence. We were reading Doctrine and Covenants section 1, which is the preface, the introduction, kind of what God's purpose is in the Book of Commandments, which became the Doctrine and Covenants, and what this was to be, found again the very interesting take on the last days. So many people are so desperate for it to be about love. And you're going, you do understand that love has already been offered. It's Christ's atonement, the Heavenly Father's plan and agenda are love. Those are expressions of love. They didn't have to do these things. But you can say it's a responsibility, it's a deal, and you go, if you want to couch it in that kind of terms, I suppose you can. But at the end of the day, love has been offered. It's not like you're going to get something special now that people in the past didn't have. And as they described it, look in Doctrine and Covenants section 1, look for the word love. I didn't find it. what I found was a lot of stated consequences for failing to repent. Not exclusively, but I think if you were to look at the, or you could call them threats, the threats made by the Lord, don't know what my love and hugs, compatriots, think of that first, you know, that preface to say, okay, here's all the commandments you've got so far. In about only a year and a half. A huge commandment dump through Joseph Smith. Prizes much of the doctrine and covenants. The vast majority of it. And it was harsh. I can picture 70s trying to soften it up, shoving in soothing adjectives and adverbs so that people would know that Jesus really does love them. And you go, I'm sorry. He doesn't have to make that same statement all the time. In fact, in this case, he makes harsh statements. Not exclusive. Not the only thing Christ speaks of, but Christ rarely speaks of love. Now, I talk a lot about trust. Christ doesn't talk about trust much, as far as I'm aware of. Or he doesn't use that term. Anytime love is used, I think it is used as in devotion. You're supposed to give God your devotion. That you're supposed to be devoted to each other to help one another. I worry that too many people are way too happy in saying, God loves me no matter what. And you go, I don't think that's a useful thing to say. It does not generate this sort of active devotion and change and growth and obedience to commandments and overcoming bad habits, frankly. That we need, that is the standard that Christ and Heavenly Father have set for the best blessings. I kind of cringe at love being used when probably duty, sacrifice and devotion are much more likely to bring on the ultimate reward. Of course, I don't know if so many people even comprehend the ultimate reward. I'd have to say that many Latter-day Saints, sadly, and a lot of them apparently hang out in our primaries and therefore inculcate some interesting concepts of a return to some kind of childhood. Says that I think it invades our culture too. Nobody wants to grow up. Nobody wants to be the responsible person. Take care of what needs to be done. It's all couched in soft hugs and warm cookies on a plate. I'm going to go back and be with Heavenly Father again, and this is what it's going to be like. You know, oh, we're sitting here suffering in these times, and I guess if we suffer sufficiently, God will take us back to our old beautiful bedroom where everything was carefree and marvelous, and you're going, guys, that's not it. We are going through a process. There is no going back. I work in some high security circumstances. The one I have currently isn't very turnstilish, but some of the other ones that I've been in definitely are. You go in one side, you know, you put in your credentials and the door unlocks and you push the turnstile. It only goes one way. You can't go back. You can only go forward. And, that's very poignant. You're not going back. You're not going back to some blessed realm. The nursery, kindergarten, playground, happy childhood home that you grew up in, that is gone. There is no return to that. You can think of it as Heavenly Father selling that house and buying someplace else. I don't know if it's my children's struggles that they go, I'm not coming home. And you go, no, you're not coming home. Your home belongs, that home, your childhood home belongs to somebody else who's raising their children. You know, and we've moved on to other places, progressed to other states. And I can only think of it like you should think of it with grandparents who are progressing and striving and doing these kinds of things. The family home is in the past of your childhood. You know, my dad lives in, well, two different places. It really has no relevance to me because these places weren't my childhood home. They moved on from that. Now they're in different places more suited to what they're doing now, the kind of lifestyle they have now. My mom lives in a little house behind my brother's home, which is not really the childhood home of his children either. I don't know if they come back and that's part of their problem is that your parents are supposed to be this static thing that, right, you know, makes you feel comfortable, you know, makes you feel at home, you know, like I said, gives you soft, warm cookies, so that you can feel all good and that you never want to launch from. I think Lisa and I made a conscious effort to make changes. It was more part of my development than hers, I think. And so it's like that turnstile. It's like the family home got sold. And it's gone. You know, the houses you grew up in, no longer have those. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all, because it really is. It really is emblematic of the progress you're supposed to make. Don't look back and desire what was. What was is predominantly gone. I wouldn't be surprised if God the Father moves from place to place. The launching of this earth, he brought together souls. Well, he brought together intelligences, bring them spirits. It was relative to, I think, this planet. He grew up here, was tutored here, and then started sending people down. We don't see a lot of Heavenly Father at all. Just the occasional visit. Just to say, here's my son. Hear him. And then I wouldn't be surprised after things start churning and after things have been set up and built and ready to go that he has already moved his primary residence to another area with another sphere. And he's getting that place prepared. Because it's very obvious in Scripture, he says at some point this earth and this heaven will pass away. It will be replaced by something else. We've already been told that this is a celestial kingdom. It's like, you know, right now, I was just listening to a talk by one of the apostles. He talks about 300 plus, well, he gave an actual number, but 300 plus temples under construction or planned under construction or operating. And how these things go through those stages. Planning, construction, operation. And you go, well, is God sitting? Does God sit in every single one of them? And you go, no. It's kind of like the very wealthy people who have several homes. And most of the time, they're not there physically. They're not there, you know, they leave behind instructions for those who take care of the homes. But they're not present because they're busy doing something else. Working on the next place to be. Well, will they come occasionally to that place? Sure. But you've got to understand, God and Christ are moving. It's kind of like, can I be honest? It might have a lot to do with construction crews. Moving from area to area. My daughter, Brenna Jelaine, she's part of a construction crew. Right now she's in Hawaii. She was in Taos, now she's in Hawaii for a few months. Working on a construction job. And then once that one is complete, or once whatever construction they're doing there is done, she will move on to yet another place. And I can't but see that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are somewhat like that. You know, you build up a heaven, you bring spirits to it, they're tied to this particular region. God has already said that we are going to have upgrades here. Right now we are a celestial world. but soon it will be altered into a terrestrial world, much, much finer grade, much nicer place. And that we are, you know, when we talk about that we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ, I think that has a lot to do with it. The fact that we're going to have temples all over the world, these are houses of the Lord. These are places where he can come and he can dwell if he chooses. Of course, constantly work going on. Our God is a God of labor, a God of work. So all of you in the construction industry, I think you have an interesting insight that other people probably don't have very well for what God is about. He's a construction guy. You know, if you're building a whole bunch of condos, you start with one, you go start going through a process, you're building up things, and it doesn't have to be just one after the other, but it might be. It might be. I know with both construction jobs, you've usually got several things going at once in various stages of whatever, development, construction, operation. Different people are engaged in each step of that process. Don't know how much he is just the planner and he doesn't get involved so much in the construction. Christ was mostly the foreman on this earth and heaven that comprises where we are now. Is God the architect? Yes. But we put those things into those terms, it becomes interesting. Anyway, so, trust that what your Father has put together, what Christ has done in the name of legwork, going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. I'll get all kinds of crazy ideas. I think it's somewhat dangerous to one's future potential if you don't get a better sense of it. And if you don't so much of what people say is ultimately a lack of trust, manufacturing another God, another Christ, who suits your sensibilities better and doesn't require much, therefore it's slightly more attractive to some people. So don't fall into that trap. Anyway, I don't have much more to say besides continue to trust. You can talk about love if you want to, but be very careful with it. Please steer that toward a dogged devotion to God and his purposes. The way I say it, align yourself with his agenda. Ultimately, the best thing to do is to make his agenda your agenda. That's how you become a God, is to do what he would do in these circumstances. Be careful making up a sweet, serenades that are supposed to just make you feel good. Said you should feel a little worried and about, you know, what else do I need to be doing? That's important. So, I think I'll leave this with you. Offer you the blessing of my fathers. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.